This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Martin Lee, and this is the Autosport Podcast. Formula One returns to a more traditional track. In fact, a track that they have pounded around for tens of thousands of laps over the years. So much data on this track, but there is a different layout. And to tell us all about Friday free practice 1 and 2 from Barcelona is our man Sam Hall. Hey, 2 weeks in a row, you just couldn't get enough of being on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, Hayden being away again, it kind of... he's going to lose this gig, isn't he? I mean, he's got to watch out, maybe.
I tell you what he has. In Formula One free practice 1, Max Verstappen set the pace. It was the first session at the Circuit de Barcelona-Catalunya without the final chicane since 2006. Cars were running a prototype Pirelli construction, which we'll ask Sam about in a minute, set to be introduced for the British Grand Prix. The Red Bulls topped the times early and then switched over to some medium tyre running. Then in free practice 2, Max Verstappen again continued his strong performance today with Fernando Alonso coming home second. Nico Hülkenberg on the fast laps for Haas, a surprise third. Then Sergio Perez in fourth. The Ferraris were with Leclerc followed by Carlos Sainz with their new spec cars. Sixth and seventh they were. We'll ask Sam about that on the podcast today. And we saw the phenomenon of porpoising. Or was it bouncing? I don't know. Return to Formula One. Oh, and the weather is looking ominous. Let's get into all of those things then. Right, first of all, Max and Red Bull dominated free practice today, but how dominant? When you strip everything out and you look at lap times and the tyres, how dominant do you think they're looking this weekend?
I think they're looking scarily dominant. Free practice one and the results there. Max over 7/10 clear of Sergio Perez. So I kind of do give this the caveat of it's not necessarily Red Bull that are the team that are being so dominant. It's potentially it's Max that's being so dominant, which given Checo's performance in Monaco, that's not good for him. But then we came to FP2 and it was all a little bit closer. I say a little bit, a lot closer. The top 17 drivers within 1 second of Max's time. It's a bit of a mixed picture, and then we've got the weather. What's that going to do? That's going to throw such a spanner in the works. I mean, how many times have we seen drivers utterly dominant in the dry, and then as soon as the rain begins to fall, the picture changes completely. And obviously, if it does rain, we're going to have all these memories of Michael Schumacher 1996 possibly the best drive to a Grand Prix victory ever. I'll throw that one in there straight away. But Max is the man to beat, unquestionably.
It just goes to show how good Monaco was last time out. Less than a week ago, 5 days ago, I was watching the Formula One pre-race thing that they do from the paddock on the official F1 app. And they were just talking about Monaco. They were asking all the drivers about Monaco. Like, we're heading into a new weekend. It just goes to show, actually, because they want to talk about, people were filing stories today about Aston Martin. Could they have won it? And Sergio Perez and binning it. And that's kind of dim and distant history, really. Let's talk about this weekend. But I think it goes to show how good Monaco was when we just weren't done talking about it. Like, we just want to talk about it a bit more. Yeah, a few stories floating around today. I think one of the most interesting ones that we put up on autosport.com was Aston Martin saying, well, maybe we could have won it, which was the first time they've said that, isn't it?
And you've got to think, sort of, if they had have bought Fernando in when it started raining, when they did bring him in, which was the right time, if they had have made that switch to intermediate tyres there, it was theirs to take. Because, obviously, I don't think Max probably would have passed Fernando at Monaco in any conditions. Equally, I don't think Fernando could have passed Max had he had the chance in any conditions. It's a bit of an admission from them, really, saying we got that one wrong. And they've said that from their own data in their post-weekend analysis, he would have almost certainly moved in front, this Fernando in front of Max. We're saying this was a big one because Fernando, imagine if he had of gone to Inters, he had have won that race. He'd be returning to Spain with that 33rd win that everyone's clamouring for over there. And gaps on the hillsides and in the grandstands. I was slightly surprised to see them today, if I'm entirely honest. But they wouldn't have been there. If Fernando was a race winner again, those grandstands would have been full even on a Friday. It would have been like Silverstone.
Yeah, that would have been the dream fairy tale. Perhaps the only chance for them to win, a bit like in the Mercedes era of dominance, unless the two drivers at the front take themselves out, which, as clean as they will make it. And I think Sergio Perez knows that he's onto a good thing with I imagine a fairly decent paycheck and a championship winning car for him to drive all year. That sounds like a nice job for any racing driver. I'm not sure he's going to go, if it really comes to it, toe-to-toe. He's not going to push Max Verstappen on the grass, is he? Because he's going to face Helmut Marko afterwards. That's not going to happen. Let's talk a little bit about any other unexpected performances or surprises that you may have seen in FP1 and FP2.
Nico Hülkenberg, unquestionably, I don't think he's ever been in the top 10 in qualifying at this track. And he puts it in third and only 0.2 off the pace of Max. I mean, it's a Haas. And that's not being sort of disparaging on Haas as a team. Their ambitions are not, well, their ambitions long-term are probably podiums, championships, but their ambitions right now are just simply getting points. They know they're fighting on a normal weekend for 9th, 10th, to get those one or two points that are going to make all the difference. When you've got four teams right up there, that's what you're fighting for. Hülkenberg up there, and Kevin Magnussen, who's no slouch, in 15th. So was it just one of those laps that every driver in this paddock is capable of? Possibly. Can he replicate in qualifying? That's going to be the interesting thing for me, because it's a hell of an act to follow, putting your car there. It's one thing doing it in practice, but entirely different doing it when the pressure's on in qualifying.
Let's talk a little bit about why Formula One saw a return of its old favourite, bouncing, or is it porpoising, or are they different things? People tell me they are and they aren't. But what on earth was happening today, and why were the cars bouncing around?
It's just the high speeds and trying to run the cars as low as they possibly can. Porpoising was coming back in certain places, but mainly it was bouncing. You had bouncing through the final corner, because there's a very small bump going through them. We're talking minute, because the cars are carrying 70, 80 miles an hour extra speed into that final corner. They're hitting this bump and it's just causing the suspension to go into overdrive. It's just not what they're used to. So if they'd been going around here at these speeds for year after year, rather than going into that corner having gone through the fiddly, horrible chicane that nobody liked, I think it was universally loathed, if they had have been going in at that speed for years, they would have noticed this or noticed it more, and it probably would have been a surface change. They probably would have relayed it and gone, there you go, it's a billiard table, it's nice and smooth. I don't think we're going to see problems with porpoising for the rest of the weekend. I think it's the sort of thing that the engineers will dial out. They've got tonight to work on that. The Ferrari appeared to be potentially the worst with it from the replays that you could see, mainly going over a couple of bumps.
So apart from the bouncing slash porpoising, how significant is the removal of that final chicane for the drivers, for the teams, for the front tyres?
Oh, for the drivers and teams, I think it's a breath of fresh air. I think it's wonderful news. And for fans, I think it's wonderful news. But if you're a left front tyre, it's probably about the worst news you could have heard, because you've got turns 1 and 3 are high speed, very, very long corners that put a lot of pressure on the left front. You've then got more in the final sector that do exactly the same thing. And now you've got the final two corners that also, that tyre is going to be screaming. It wouldn't surprise me if people's tyres go off by the end of one qualifying lap on Saturday, because there's just going to be so much pressure going through that tyre, so much heat. I don't think you're going to be seeing many drivers even attempting to do what they sometimes do, where they'll do a cool down lap and then they'll go again. I think, one, because they'll potentially be running intermediates in the wet. A left front nightmare is what we call this track now.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And the prototype Pirelli rubber they ran at times today. What was the impact of running that today in free practice? Did it sort of disrupt people's sessions? And why were they doing that?
They were doing this because the speeds and the pressures and the forces that are being put through the tyres are what Pirelli expected to see at the end of this season. They're now having to address this, and because these tyres weren't developed so they could deal with these forces. So they're now having to bring these tyres in for the British Grand Prix in about a month's time now. And they're just using this as a test session, really. It was interesting how certain teams used them and mixed them with across Friday with their regular tyres, because some teams have been able to save some tyres for later in the weekend, which is quite a clever way of doing it, actually. And I think one of those was Red Bull, so they might have more tyres to play with. No, it was Ferrari, I think, won them. They did long runs on these tyres. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting how that makes a mix. And I don't think there was much of a performance difference. This wasn't about bringing performance or life to the tyres. This was just about the durability of the construction.
Now, Ferrari did get everyone talking today about side pods and floors and mirror details and something that I'm less familiar with, bridge winglets. But what were the highlights that we need really to know about a different looking Ferrari, much like last week was a different looking Mercedes?
Oh, the main highlight is everyone now seems to have gone for the Red Bull school of thinking. These are not copy and paste Red Bull side pods. So yeah, the shoulder of the side pod has basically been lowered, with the team taking care to modify the upper wing mirror slat in order that it works the airflow ahead of it accordingly. There's where I was going with that. The upper slat is now similar width to the lower slat, technical terms here, rather than extending all the way to the end of the mirror's body. If you look at the Red Bull, it's fairly similar to the eye, But obviously you can't, as Hamilton said before, you can't just stick the Red Bull side pods on your car and hope that it works, because it's not going to work. Your front wing won't then work with that. The floor won't work. But this is the start, and sort of a few of us have mooted this. Well, this is does seem to be the start of what was feared, where every car will soon look pretty much identical, because coming into this aerodynamic era, there were fears that all the cars would look identical, that the regulations were too prescriptive. And we had a nice surprise at the start of last year where we had three very different concepts in Mercedes, Red Bull and Ferrari, and sort of people followed those. Now it seems that Red Bull or Mercedes and Ferrari have gone, yeah, maybe the Red Bull one's the way to go with, and we've all converged. So really, I guess, look at the Red Bull if you want more inspiration for where we're going next.
Right, everyone's all going to look the same. But that's fine, because rules, consistency of rules does converge teams around the successful ideas. And as we saw at the end of the last era of rules with the battle between Lewis and Max, sometimes that's no bad thing. Anyway, we've got some consistency now between here and 2026. Right, finishing off then, how is the weather looking this weekend? What predictions do you reckon you might be able to make about this weekend's race with the weather factored in? And of course, we're making this before they even hit the track for qualifying as well. But what are you thinking at the minute?
Yeah, no pressure here.
No pressure. No pressure.
No matter what happens, to be honest, I think you'd be a fool this year not to say Max is the favourite. He's so far ahead, unless reliability comes into the mix, it's got to be Max. But looking at the weather, there's a 79% chance of rain just before 2 o'clock. So we're talking around qualifying time. So it shoots up from sort of 10-15% of chance to rain up to 60, and then basically 80% chance of rain. If there isn't rain during qualifying, I think it will be on a drying track that qualifying starts, which is always entertaining because someone will gamble on slicks if it is a drying track. If we look ahead to Sunday, potentially we're looking at a wet race start, because again, it's over 75% chance of rain from pretty much 11 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, around about that. So if there isn't some form of rain interruption both on Saturday and Sunday, I will be very, very surprised. But still, even though this could give Fernando his opportunity and he might make the right call to come into Inters this time, or the team might, it wasn't Fernando, yeah, the team might bring him in for Inters, I would be very surprised if there's no rain interruption.
Oh, wow, well, there we go. What a tease. What a tease for the weekend. We love it. Looking forward to this weekend's Grand Prix and some of the upgrades we can look out for. Mercedes, by the way, bringing some more bits as well as the upgrade they had last weekend. And Max Verstappen coming out this week and saying that he thinks Red Bull, not that they will, but Red Bull could win every race weekend in 2023. We've all been saying it for weeks and months now, but he's finally made that admission. He doesn't think they will, by the way. It's Grand Prix racing, long season. There's definitely going to be reliability and just stuff. And on that very non-technical note, we'll end it there. Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Make sure you tune in tomorrow, qualifying podcast with our man at the track, Alex Kalanokas. And on Sunday, I'll be joined by Philip Clearan, who is also at the track. He better be. He lives in Barcelona. And also Matt Q, who's over there as well. So once again, we drew the short straw, Sam, and we're back in. But that's okay. I don't mind that. It's nice. It's lovely. It's sunny. It's good. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast today, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.